You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
What's inside counts.
I cannot see a thing in here. This is great when it's outside. So, Darth Vader, as you probably know, I'm a...
I'm your father. Tell them I was... You were right.
Anyway, sorry, the whole taking the mask off thing. Anyway, Darth Vader, I'm a Star Wars fan, and I'm really excited about December because they're... You know, the new movie's coming out, episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 is coming out, and that'll be really cool. But I want to talk to you this morning in the brief time that I have. Thanks, Chris Hale. But I want to talk to you this morning about what Darth Vader can teach us about missions. And you might say, well, what can he teach you about missions? There's a lot of things that he can teach us about missions, but I want to talk about one of them right now. And it actually comes from this clip. So I'm going to show a clip here, and I just want to tell you, there's a spoiler alert here. This movie has been out since 1977. So if you haven't seen it by now, I'm sorry. You're just going to have to get over it, okay? So just watch this brief clip and see if you can pick out what Darth Vader teaches us about missions.
We've entered the Alderaan system.
Governor Tuck, I should have expected to find you holding Vader's leash. I recognized your foul stench when I was brought on board.
Charming to the last. You don't know how hard I found it, signing the order to terminate your life.
I'm surprised you had the courage to take the responsibility yourself.
Princess Leia, before your execution, I would like you to be my guest at a ceremony that will make this battle station operational. No star system will dare oppose the Emperor now.
The more you tighten your grip, Tuck, the more star systems will slip through your fingers.
Not after we demonstrate the power of this station. In a way, you have determined the choice of the planet that will be destroyed first. Since you are reluctant to provide us with the location of the rebel base, I have chosen to test this station's destructive power on your home planet of Alderaan.
No, Alderaan is peaceful. We have no weapons. You can't.
You will prefer another target, a military target, then name the system. I grow tired of asking this, so it'll be the last time. Where is the rebel base?
Dantooine. They're on Dantooine.
There. You see, Lord Vader, she can be reasonable. Continue with the operation. You may fire when ready.
What?
You're far too trusting. Dantooine is too remote to make an effective demonstration, but don't worry. We will deal with your rebel friends soon enough.
Commence primary ignition.
Did you catch it? Did you see it there? Okay, maybe you missed it. But what Darth Vader teaches us about missions is the power of focus. Because if you saw at the very end there, the way the Death Star was able to take out the planet, Alderaan, again, spoiler, sorry, is that there were a whole bunch of lasers that came together. And when those lasers came together and focused in that one spot, they were able to blow up a planet. So there you go. Now you know that missions is all about blowing up planets. No, the power of focus, though, this idea of individual people, individual pieces coming together can do something together that no one individual can. And so this series we're going through, is, as Justin shared at the beginning, is about inside MC3, why we do what we do, why we are who we are, kind of the reasons behind things. And today I want to talk about the point, and that's this, that on the inside, MC3 Missions is about caring globally. And I want to talk this morning a little bit about inside MC3. Of course, the team shared, and you got to hear some of their story, a little bit about what's going on. And I want to talk kind of more about the why we do what we do and how it's different from the way other churches do things. And that's okay. We've talked about this before that, you know, we do things intentionally. We do things differently. We talked about this last week with why the environment you're in right now is the way it is. It's on purpose because we want to make a place that people who are outside the church feel comfortable being inside the church. And so this week, I want to talk about missions because we do things a little bit differently with missions than other churches do. And that's okay, but we have a reason behind it. And the reason is because it's about caring globally. So if you have your Bibles or the YouVersion app, the lights are going to come on if you have paper. But we're going to be looking at just a short passage, which is convenient because we don't have much time. And I knew that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, just a simple verse that we're going to look at, and I'm going to fly through some of that stuff there, Brian. So we'll just deal. First Thessalonians. This is a book. If you were here again last summer for our Word, the sequel series, First Thessalonians was a letter written to the church in Thessalonica, which is a church that Paul planted. He started this church. And actually, if you're reading along with the YouVersion plan, the Acts reading guide, you just read about Paul planting this church last week. It was Acts chapters 16-17 in there. And I would say it's the one where the people rose up, tried to kill him, so he ended up having to leave the city. Unfortunately, that would pretty much cover every city that Paul ever went to. We think we have problems planting churches. So we read about that this past week in the YouVersion study that we're doing together. But this is a church that Paul planted in Thessalonica, and he's sharing some thoughts with them in this letter that he writes in 1 Thessalonians. And there's this really cool verse here where he is talking about what he did, what his ministry to them was all about, and why he did things the way he did. And he talks a little bit about his reasons and the support and the way he financially covers his expenses and things like that. And then he has this really cool verse. And he says, because we love you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. And it's just this little snippet that's kind of shoved right in there. But I think this does a great job kind of encapsulating the way we do missions, the way we have this relationship with Trigo y Miel, the way we have this partnership and this connection. And it comes from a few things here, and it's this idea of the power of focus. And so what he's saying here, the first thing he says, and again, this is no-brainer stuff that we're going to go quickly through, but he says that we loved you. And part of why we do missions, part of why any church does missions, is because Jesus has told us to love our neighbors, to love those, and to care for those around this world. And in your discussion guide this week in Prime Groups, you're going to have a chance to unpack a little bit more about, well, if we're supposed to reach the world, how come we're not? And you'll have some more about that. But the most part is that we were told to love. We love the world. God so loved the world, and we're going to love the world the way God did too. So there was an element of love here that Paul says, I love this church. I love you Thessalonians. And says, I love you, so I want to, because I love you, I want to do this. And he goes the next step. He says, well, he loved you, and because we loved you, we loved you to share Christ. And this idea of him saying, you know what, and this is the reality, right? I mean, if you are telling people about Jesus because your pastor says you should, you've missed it. That's not the point. It's not so God will love you more. We know that. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more, nothing you can do to make God love you less. Why do we share Christ with people? Because He is the only hope that anybody has. And so if you love someone and say, I love you, I care about you, I care about you enough that I want to share with you about Christ. I want to tell you about what Jesus did and how He died on the cross for you to take away the sins that you have, to remove all the mess ups that you've made, not to make your life easy, but to give you hope. And so Paul says, look, I loved you so much that I was willing to share Christ. And again, you know, we in your prime groups, you'll have a chance to talk about this some more, but this idea of why do we share Christ? Is it because we're compelled to? Is it because we feel guilty about not doing it? And there's nothing wrong with guilt, I suppose, but there's something deeper here in this idea of I want to share Christ with you because I love you. I want to share Christ with you because I know that your eternity matters, and that's a long time. I mean, eternity is fairly long. And so I'm willing to talk to you about it. And then Paul goes, and here's the cool thing. Paul goes the next step and says, you know what? I loved you so much. Not only was I sharing Christ, but I shared with you my life as well. This is that next step. And I think it's sometimes easy for us to share Christ, to talk about Jesus, invite people to church, but not actually have to get into relationship with people. And when it comes to missions, it's easy for us to say, oh yeah, here's some money. Hope that worked for you. Or, you know, and this is again part of why we do things the way we do, and we'll get into this in just a moment. But the idea of saying, you know, we're not here to make us feel good. We're not here to say, hey, look, we happen to have somebody donate a bunch of pink chairs, and they're old and beat up, and so we'll just give them to you, because you guys can use them. And they might not need old and beat up pink chairs. We do. I hope you enjoy them. But you know, like, we're not manufacturing saying, we're giving you this so that we can feel good. We're giving you this because we want to give something to you because there's a need. We don't want to go down and I joked with Forward Edge about this all the time. What if we wanted to donate a golden fountain? A solid gold fountain for the middle of Trigo Emiel, because every children's feeding center in a third world country needs a golden fountain in the middle to fount. Which, one, the amount of water that they couldn't even afford for the fountain is a whole other story. But they say, we would say no. I'm like, but what if it was solid gold and it was beautiful? They said, we would say no. Why? Because that's not a need. And so it's easy for us to kind of throw our things and in terms of missions, be like, okay, let's do this thing there. And here's some money. And here's, I don't even know if you need it, but I'm giving it to you anyway because someone gave it to me and it was extra. But this next step that says, we're not just sharing Christ. We're not just doing stuff for you. We're sharing our lives with you. And that is the beautiful thing about what's going on. And again, this trip was so smooth and just so cool because of the groundwork, because of that relationship. There wasn't reestablishing, there wasn't getting to know people. It was, we are together in this. We are sharing lives with you. And you are sharing your lives with us. And that's true. I mean, Victor and Letty, actually, Chris didn't say this. One of the few things he didn't say. No, just kidding. His birthday was last week. He turned 19. And last week when Chris turned 19, he actually got a photo from Victor of his sponsored child that said, Feliz cumpleaños. Like, they took the time to send him a picture from that child saying happy birthday to Chris. And I mean, that's that kind of idea of sharing lives together, sharing not just Christ, but our lives together. And back to 1 Thessalonians there, the word here, he says, we are delighted to share our lives with you. And that word means, it's the Greek word is euodieko. Anyway, it's Greek and long. But it means it's a joy. It's a pleasure. It's, we want to do this. We're not doing this out of obligation. We're delighted to share with you. And honestly, that's been the biggest challenge. And I'm not trying to pat ourselves on the back. I just want you to understand why we do what we do. But one of the challenges working with Forward Edge is trying, and they get it now, but when we first established this relationship, it was like, no, we want to help you. And they keep saying, no, well, okay, well, you know, how would you feel? No, it's not about how we feel. if you said the biggest need we have right now is for people barehanded to clean out toilets in the area, then we would say, okay, then we will send a team down that has hands to dig out toilets. Like that, if that's the need, that's what we want to do. We're not going to do this out of obligation, out of duty. We are delighted to do this. We want to serve you and develop this relationship. And he says, you know, not just sharing the gospel, but sharing our very lives, sharing everything that's who we are. And that's this whole partnership that we have with Trigo y Miel. It's that we want to do this together in a full-on relationship. This isn't just a duty. This is an obligation. This isn't us just throwing our things out there so we'll feel good about ourselves. What do they call it? Slacktivism. You know, you can, and if you click like on this post, that'll make sure that somebody, you know, gets in a foreign country, gets food that they need. And that's easy to do, so we'll do that. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about giving our lives, giving who we are. And we'll get into that in just a second here. So that's just a quick kind of summary verse, knowing that we're running short on time here. But on the inside, MC3 is about caring globally. And Brian, let's just fly through this here. This is coming out of what we talked about the very first week about our C3 process. We said if we're going to start a church, let's look at how did the early church do it. It was out of Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47, kind of the summary of the church. And we looked at some different things. And if you have time, you can go back and listen at mc3church.org to the very first week of this series called Inception. And it kind of gives you the overview of this. But what we looked at in this passage, we came across some things here in verse 45. We saw the early church, and we talked about the other things already, that they sold their possessions and goods and gave to anyone as they had need. And then going on, it said that they enjoyed the favor of all the people. And so there was something about their willingness to give, their willingness as a church to give of themselves for the needs of others. And then this idea of enjoying the favor of all the people meant the whole community. Everyone was glad that the church was there. And that's one of the kind of the things that hovers around in the back of our heads at MC3. We want Mifflin County, we want Lewistown to be glad that we're here because of the way we care, because of the way we meet needs. And so out of that, we came up with this C3 process and just click. Click, click, click. There we go. Okay, oh, too much clicking. All right, back up. Okay, so back up one more if you can. Can you go? There we go. Okay, so we had this process, this C3 process. We talked the second week of the series about community, and we feel that community is important, and we do prime groups because of that. That is why we have prime groups. Then last week, we talked about the second C, about how they worship together. They congregate together, gather together for worship and instruction. That's what you're a part of here called the worship experience. Then the third thing, and we'll come back to this in a couple more weeks, is this idea of caring. The third C is caring, and that the church, the early church, sold of what they had to give to the needs of others, to make a difference for others. And so we said, if we're going to start a church, let's make sure that these three things, because that's how the early church, that was kind of the definition of what they did, let's make sure we're doing these three things. And so we have what we call C3 opportunities on the local level, and we will talk about that in a couple more weeks, but one of the things that we do on the global level is MC3 missions. And so our logo, which is later down the road, don't try to jump to it, it has that this is a C3 opportunity. It's a chance for us to care globally, which is the point for this week. So I want to take you inside MC3 missions. The power of focus. Because when we are taking what we do, if we feel this idea of sharing our lives with the community, and if we come together as a church, and instead of saying we're going to have 10 different missionaries or 30 different missionaries or 50 different missionaries that we support all over the world, what if we focus on one area? And instead of putting a little bit here and a little bit here, a little bit here, what if we put some here and then more here and then more here and more here and actually make a difference in a community? And I'm not implying that no one makes a difference any other way. But for us to say, we are being intentional about making a difference in one spot. And that is how MC3 missions kind of came to be. We want to share more than just the gospel. We want to share our very lives. We want to share more than just Christ. We want to share our lives. And by focusing over and over and over, we are able to blow up, metaphorically, that community. And we are. We are. The difference that MC3 is making is huge. Understand this. This isn't, again, it's not a patting us on the back. I'm saying it's working. Be a part of it. So let's talk about this. It's focused. Yeah. So we are focused. Only one spot. Again, you'll be talking more in your prime groups about this idea of how we're called to reach the whole world, but really no church, individual local church, is going to reach the whole world. It is not possible. But as the church, the universal church, the church around the world, we all have our part. And this is our part. We are reaching the church in Oaxaca, Mexico. We are making a difference there to help people grow in Christ. And so it's focused there. And again, here's the thing too. I mean, you guys probably know this, but you know, we're not rich. We're not pretty. We're just sort of an average. I mean, as Greg and Wilson so beautifully pointed out, we're an ugly church. You know, we don't have a fancy building. There's a lot of things we don't have. And so financially, we're not going to be like, oh, let me write out a check for $300,000. But together, God is using us to make a huge difference. And God is using you in the sacrifice that you're making. I mean, it's just really cool. And what I'm getting at is this idea of working together, we're able to do something that is just, well, frankly, it's God because of that. So we are focused on purpose, one spot. We want to make a difference. And that relationship grows as we do that. And I'll talk about that in a second. The second thing about it is that MC3 Missions is layered. It's layered. And this is the same idea. We have three main components to how we do missions. The first part is as a church, and maybe you know this, maybe you don't know this if you haven't been here for a little bit, but we as a church, our annual budget sponsors Victor and Letty and Tom and Wendy. And I don't know what the number is per month, something like a couple $100 for support, I don't know. But as a church, our church budget supports Victor and Letty and Tom and Wendy every month. So when you give in the buckets, part of what you give goes to support them as they serve on the field down there. The second part is child sponsorship. And this is individual. And like I said earlier, there's about 30-some families from MC3. And like, if you want to feel really important, and not that this is the right reason to do something, but call Forward Edge and be like, yeah, I'm from MC3. And they're like, oh, well, you are child sponsorship advocates. Your church sponsors over, like, anybody you talk to there. And we're like, I was just having a quick question, you know, like, the idea of child sponsorship is the second part. We are making a difference that way because you are a part of an individual family that is helping the program at Trigo Email, the feeding program. And of course, you've heard all about that. And so, again, that computer's out there. If you're interested, there's also brochures you can take home. It's $38 a month to support and sponsor kids. And you guys are doing it. And that's the second way we are making an impact in the lives of people at 3UEMEL and sharing our lives. And then the third way is by our teams, of course. We are sending teams regularly down there to make a difference, to help them with the needs that they have. I got an email yesterday, I believe, or it was Friday, with some of the needs that are coming up for the next year. What are some of the things that maybe we could do? How do we fit? How can we help them? And again, we're layering all of our emphasis on one spot. We've also had a Christmas project in the last couple of years. We have a Christmas project that has been a part of helping 3UEMEL. This past year it was child sponsor tutoring, and we actually got to see that in action. And my words are going faster than my mouth. We got to see that in action while we were down there. And the tutoring that we as a church for our Christmas project, when you bought those ornaments, it was a week of tutoring, and was able to sponsor this all the way up through May. And it was just a really powerful thing. We've heard stories about the way these kids, actually their teachers from school, their public school teachers, were coming back to Trigo and Miel and saying, what are you doing to your kids? Because these kids are doing much better than the rest of the kids in the school here. And so that's another way we're adding these layers to, again, focus all these lasers in one spot and making a difference. And of course, other needs. Last 2 months ago, Victor and Letty, they shared that there were some dental needs that they had. And as a church, we threw that out there. And we were able to give them a few $100 and pay for the dental needs that they had. And someone is, as from one of you guys, is monthly, I don't even know who it is, monthly paying for them to get some medicine for kidney stones, I believe it was. Kidney stones or liver, some kind of stones. And so, again, needs, the layers that we can help with these needs. The third thing is that it's costly. It's costly. A lot of our budget, I mean, if you look at the amount of money that we brought in and how much went to Mexico, a huge chunk of it goes to that. And as elders, we have been striving, and we're slowly getting closer and closer to this idea of what we call a 50-50 budget. And that's this, that Jesus says to love our neighbor as ourselves. As a church, we want our budget to reflect that. So how much money goes to us, how much money goes out there. And honestly, I'm the biggest problem because you're paying me a salary. And right away, like, we're eating, I've got clothing, so there's a significant amount of money that's coming to us, so we are trying to match that in how much we give out outside of our community. And so so that's good. We're spending money outside for the sake of others' needs, and we're okay with that. The third or fourth thing, whatever, is that it's long-term. You know, unless God says otherwise, we are planning on continuing to invest in this relationship. This isn't a short-term thing, and we're going to keep doing it to help grow and develop and build the community down there to empower them. And you know, of course, the cool part would be someday where they say, you know what, we are on our own. We've got it now. We don't need you guys. And that's self-sustaining. That's awesome. That's cool. So this is a long-term thing that we're looking for. The next thing is that it's selfless. And I've said this a number of times, and again, this isn't to say how awesome we are because we're selfless, but we're not doing this for us. We're not in it to say, how can we feel good? If you go on a team, yes, Jason, I think, hit the nail on the head wherever he is, right there. Then, you know, you go there, and yes, we're there to serve others, but we do come home with way more than we give. But that's not why we go. We go because we want to help them and meet their needs and care for them. So, and then finally, it's the relationship. And this is that idea. You know, we're not just sharing Christ. We're sharing our lives as well. And we have developed that relationship. We have interaction on Facebook. We have interaction through Forward Edge. You have interaction with your children, your sponsored children. I mean, there's so much more than just that week of a trip or that monthly check that Tom and Wendy and Victor and Letty get. But we need to work together to do it. And that means everybody needs to be a part of it. The more we can do, the more lasers we have, the more we can make a difference down there. So that is a just super, super quick kind of overview summary of what MC3 Missions is all about, why we do it the way we do. And some people would say, well, what about the rest of the world? I mean, there are needs all over the world. But again, we're trying to make a difference in one spot. We're trying to be intentional about making a difference in one spot so that we can see lives change. And I certainly don't have time to get into all the research and things about, you know, the more you invest in one area, the far better the return is than if we just kind of scatter our needs everywhere. So that's MC3 Missions. Again, a number of you are guests here today to come and see the people that you help support, and I appreciate you guys coming by. And I know I've just been flying through things, so this is not normal. Usually I talk way longer. So maybe this is good. But that's the whole point, is that on the inside, MC3 Missions is about caring globally. We know that as a church, we need to care for the needs of others. And this is how we do it outside of the country, globally, around the world. So would you just pray with me, and then we can go. God, thank you so much for this morning and the power of what is represented by the stories that were shared and the stories that weren't shared. And that's just the power of what you're doing in the lives of us. But God, this is so much bigger in the people that have been transformed, the lives that have been transformed, the families that have been transformed by your word, by the gospel of Jesus, by the message of hope that Christ brings us. And I thank you that we have the privilege of not just sharing that message, but we have the privilege of sharing our lives as well with Trigo y Miel. God, I pray for the future of MC3 Missions, that we would continue to be good stewards of what you have given us as a church and individually, so that we can see more lives change. Because that's the point. It's not about growing a program. It's not about seeing how much we can give or keep. It's about changing lives. And God, I pray that you would help us as a church to do that. Thank you so much for the people that are here that have given selflessly towards this team that has gone, towards the needs that are in Oaxaca. May we continue to see you bless our faith and trust you for bigger things as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.